You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Stanley Cup playoff first round action continues tonight. Two more games on ESPN. Bruins, Maple Leafs game 3, 7 Eastern, then game 2, Golden Knights and Stars. So the sports action is coming fast and furious, and we are delighted to be smack dab in the middle of all of it as we prepare for hour number 2. We're at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The draft crew is awesome today. We're going to add Field Yates to the conversation. Shefty is here. My guys are here. We're getting you set for all the action tomorrow night. And as you see, Windy is ready to go, and so is Tim Legler. We begin by running through last night's NBA postseason action quickly. Windy, let's talk Pacers, Bucks. Indiana evens up the series. How did they do it?
They had a good game plan for the Bucks, double teaming of Tyrese Haliburton. That really threw them off in game one. They hit 16 threes in game two with Haliburton picking up 12 assists. And Pascal Siakam backs up his 36-point career playoff high in game one with a new 37-point career high in game two. Pacers become first road team to win on this year's postseason.
Minnesota, meanwhile, another home team winning again. Legs. Is this series with the Suns, does it feel over?
It does to me, yeah, because I don't think the Phoenix Suns, number one, they don't look like a group collectively that's going to fight through adversity to the extent you need to rally, right? Get in the trenches, roll up your sleeves. And then physically, they're being dominated. Minnesota has all those pressure defenders on the perimeter, and they're funneling them to great size. Three tremendous offensive players for the Suns. Last night, none of those guys played to their average.
And then, Wendy, let's go to the other road team that won last night. That was Dallas, spoiling Kawhi's return to that series with the Clippers. What was your biggest takeaway?
Extremely mature game from Luka Doncic here. This is the 10th time in his career he scored over 30 points in the playoffs just against the Clippers, but he was great at both ends of the floor. Probably the most complete playoff game I've ever seen him play. It was part of the Dallas defensive effort. This is not a team that's known for its defense, but it holds the Clippers to 37%, their lowest shooting of the season, and gets a 1-1 series at home court heading back to Dallas.
You love them. You've been on the Mavericks bandwagon with me for the last couple of months. What do you see from them right now? Six consecutive very good-looking quarters for a team you think is the biggest threat to Denver.
The fact that they can win games multiple ways. They don't have to make a ton of threes on a given night. They don't have to outscore you. They can win a different way. This game was really run in the mud the entire night. Physical, both teams not shooting particularly well. So if you get them into a one-possession game, I trust Luka Doncic more than just about anybody in this league outside of Nikola Jokic. Luka will control the possessions when he has to, and he did it again. Now, three-point shooters are going to have to step up. They did it last night. P.J. Washington, Kleba, Kyrie, all of those guys ready to toe him up and knock him down because Luka's going to do all the work for you, and he did it again last night, closing out the game.
But look, the Nuggets have looked so unbeatable. There's an sort of an aura of inevitability about them. So we look at them up 2-0 on the Lakers. We see a Clippers team that, when healthy, is certainly dangerous. Minnesota has looked very good so far, Windy, and now Dallas. If you were to identify the biggest threat to Denver in the Western Conference, who do you think it is?
I think it could be Dallas because they have size to bother the Nuggets. And the thing about the Nuggets is they don't have great depth, especially at the big man position. That's one of the things that the Lakers are testing them on. Dallas is deeper and bigger. Minnesota is deeper and bigger than the Lakers. You're definitely going to see, if those two teams advance, you're definitely going to see the Nuggets have to earn it. This is not going to be an easy road for them. The Lakers have tested them, quite frankly. They've had to work hard to beat the Lakers in these two games, and it's going to be even more challenging. Yes, they're definitely the favorites. I like that. The Western Conference playoffs are going to be a grinder. We're already seeing some series get interesting.
Quickly, if I told you right now Denver will not be in the final, who are you telling me is going to be?
I'd go with Dallas, and I love their path. Look, you look at, if assuming they get through this series, you look at the winner of Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Luka Doncic is going to destroy those two teams. They do not have the personnel that even the Clippers do to be able to at least make him work for what he wants. Dallas Mavericks, to me, by adding those pieces and Kyrie and Luka meshing to the extent that they have this season, that's a team that can beat you any way they have to, and they've got the best closer right now probably in the game.
We will get into the Nuggets and Lakers a little bit later in this hour with these guys, but meanwhile, we are one day and counting from the draft, people. Field Yates is ready to go. He gets up with us early from Detroit this morning, so let's do a field pass, Yates. We're usually asking you questions. Now I want your three biggest questions ahead of tomorrow night's round one.
Yeah, Greeny, can't wait for tomorrow night, and certainly a quarterback-laden set of questions for me. The first one is, are the Vikings going to trade up for a quarterback? Obviously, the team already has an extra first-round pick in that deal they made earlier this offseason with Houston, and we all know that with just Sam Darnold in terms of legit investments on the roster right now at that quarterback spot, this team will be exploring those options. J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, amongst the potential targets for the Minnesota Vikings. Do they have enough capital to move up to where they want to? And are they willing to be aggressive enough, or could they stand pat at pick number 11? Sort of the other side of that coin, Green, the potential first seller of a pick could be the New England Patriots at number 3 overall. Well, I would argue the team should simply take whichever of Jaden Daniels or Drake May is available at number 3. Certainly a team that could look to fill other holes on the roster and potentially still get a quarterback in the first round of this draft following a trade down. This team certainly has needs at wide receiver and offensive tackle. You can't fill all needs in just one draft, but if the Patriots were looking to consider to trade down, there would certainly be no shortage of teams that would be willing to do a deal with them to move up. And finally, one more quarterback question. How many go in the first round? I've learned a lot of things in life, but one of the most important is don't doubt Adam Schefter. And he's been talking about the likelihood of 6 quarterbacks going in the first round. And while there are more than 6 teams that need a quarterback in the NFL right now, especially a young developmental one to put into the pipeline, we're always keeping our eyes out for a surprise team. Who could be a team that we aren't discussing enough as a quarterback suitor that could emerge on draft night? If we have 6 quarterbacks go in round one tomorrow night, there's a chance that one of those 6 pairings is a more surprising one than the 3 teams at the very top of the board.
Okay, excellent. Now, let me stay with that a moment. Let me also alert my news desk and the control room that I think we have some pretty significant breaking news here from Pete Thamel that I'm going to want to get to in a minute. So let's get ready to do that. But before we do that, I want to hear from Jordan Renan. He is our Giants reporter. And on his podcast, he was talking about the Giants being a team that could be in play for Drake May.
The Giants are looking into trading up in the draft. Number 3 with the New England Patriots, number 4 with the Arizona Cardinals. Those are the 2 sweet spots. Number 4 still seems more likely to me, but when you talk to league sources, the belief is that if the Giants move up and they do trade, and they're trying to trade up, it's for Drake May.
All right, let me very quickly get an answer from Shefty on that one. You hear Jordan Renan talking about the possibility of the Giants moving up. There has been so much discussion about what the Giants will do in this draft at number 6. What are you hearing about the likelihood that they move up, that they take a quarterback where they are? What should we be expecting from New York?
Well, let's be clear. They have made calls. But as we talked about earlier, Greeny, I just think the Vikings are more desperate and they have more ammunition to get up. If the Giants want to find a way to get up 3 slots to go to number 3 to get Drake May, they could. Now, if for some reason New England or whoever is at 3 decides to take J.J. McCarthy and all of a sudden Drake May falls 1 or 2 slots, at that point, maybe the Giants figure another pick to throw in there to go get Drake May might be worth it. But you're talking about an offensive line last year that allowed, what was it, 85 sacks. You're talking about an offense that needs somebody as dynamic as Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Roma Dunze. You're talking about an offense that has holes, and now you're going out to give up more assets to go get a quarterback. Again, they've done a lot of work on quarterbacks, and I think they'd like to come out of this draft with a quarterback, but I don't think that they're looking to give up extra added assets to go get that quarterback unless the right one happens to fall right to them.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on all of that. In the meantime, one day from the draft, we have significant news about a player who once upon a time was the number 2 pick in an NFL draft. And this is something we've been watching closely, and that I think there will be a lot of people celebrating this news today. It is from Pete Thamel. I will read it directly. Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back, ESPN has learned. with a formal reinstatement of the trophy coming today. The decision comes amid what the Heisman Trust calls, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape. I have a quote here as well as I read further down in the story. Reggie Bush gave a statement to us at ESPN saying, personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization. So this is, I think, as we look at ourselves in an ever of, applause.
All damn time.
If anything else, I think a move long overdue. I can't speak for everyone. I'm certainly not speaking on behalf of ESPN here, but I'm speaking on behalf of me, and you're speaking on behalf of you.
Absolutely. Reggie Bush is one of the greatest football players to ever grace a college football field, ever. He's one of the best we've ever seen. He captivated an entire nation, and nothing that happened to Reggie Bush's family, nothing that they may have think Reggie Bush was given, had to do with what that man did on the football field. He deserves to not only have his trophy, but he deserves to be a part of everything all of those other players get.
Yeah.
He deserves to be a part of every ceremony. He deserves to be a part of every single commercial. He deserves to have his name mentioned amongst the great that have played our game amongst the college ranks. I am so excited for Reggie Bush, and more than anything for him, there has to be a relief that something he earned is now back in his possession.
Here's a quick quote, D. Wood, from the president of the Heisman Trophy Trust, Michael Comerford. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Quote, we are thrilled to welcome Reggie Bush back to the Heisman family in recognition of his collegiate accomplishments. We considered the enormous changes in college athletics over the last several years in deciding that now is the right time to reinstate the trophy for Reggie. We are so happy to welcome him back.
Reggie Bush was the most exciting college football player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, how can you write a story without having Reggie Bush in that story? Like, that's how much he meant to college football. Anyone who watched those great USC teams, like, it was just so ridiculous that Reggie Bush wasn't a part of, like, the Heisman, you know, like, celebration. Reggie Bush should have been celebrated for years.
He should be front and center.
Front and center.
Every
like when they, when, like when they do it in the Heisman Trophy presentation, Reggie Bush should be right smack in the middle of it, because that's how important and celebrated Reggie Bush should be in this whole situation.
Chris Fowler should have to step around him to interview.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me, Reggie. I need to talk to you.
Right.
But very quickly, for those of you who keep track of these things, USC will now have 8 Heisman Trophy winners officially, which they did, and then it was taken away. That gives them the most of any school ahead of the 7 each for Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. That's just sort of maybe I'm just the only one interested in that.
But it's a big deal.
It gives them the most Heisman winners of all time. Again, he had been given it to him. It was taken away, so it did not count on the all-time list.
Man.
I think we all think that this is something
I'm
that
so
was
happy
over.
For Reggie. I'm so happy for Reggie, his family, like having to go through this for all these years. Like you said, about damn time, but I'm glad it's happened.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's happened.
Now take care of the Fab Five. They're next. They're the next ones who should be celebrated in ways that they are not. All right, that's great news. As we continue much more on the draft, we talked briefly there about Drake May and the Giants. What should the Patriots be doing at 3? Should they be looking at him? Should they be drafting J.J. McCarthy? Should they be trading out? We have Field and Shefty all morning long. Plus, Jerry Jones speaks a lot of words, and frankly, we're not clear what it is he's trying to tell us. You need to hear this and you'll make up your own mind as we continue on a jam-packed morning. Get up on ESPN. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures.
So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Back on Get Up, and I interrupt the proceedings to present my absolute favorite thing of the morning. Chef D, will you please explain to everyone what this post you put up yesterday is?
Yes, Green. Yesterday was Field Yates' 37th birthday, and we were walking to go tape a podcast, but we had to walk through the ESPN Bet Casino to get there. And as we were walking through the casino, that woman there was doing her job, enforcing what it says on the sign, must be 21 years old to enter. And so Field was coming in. She stopped him and asked to see his ID 16 years after he turned 21. But that there is a reason why Marcus Spears calls Field Yates babyface. And you have it right there.
Happy birthday, Yates.
And by the way, ma'am, you did the right thing. I would have carded him too.
Me too.
Hey, Phil. By the way,
thank you, RC.
You look crispy in that picture. I just got to tell you, look crispy.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you all saying that. It actually got worse this morning, guys. This morning, I walked over to get a coffee at Starbucks, and the barista asked me if my parents allowed me to have caffeinated beverages. She offered me decaf coffee instead. I said, no, I'm of age to drink caffeine. So maybe a little light on the caffeine, but it got me through the morning at the very least.
Okay, now we're talking. Happy birthday, Yates. Let's move forward. Let's get to today's wood-based pun with Damian Woody. It is called Would You Believe. D. Wood, would you believe the Bills need to trade up for a wide receiver to be a Super Bowl contender?
No, I would not believe that for a couple reasons. One, this is an incredibly deep wide receiver draft. I think where the Bills are going to be picking, they'll still be able to get a high-end wide receiver that's going to add to this offense. And we know that the Buffalo Bills, they got to fill other positions as well from guys that they let go this offseason, particularly on the defensive side of the football.
Next up, Ewan, would you believe the Jets would be making a mistake if they take a pass catcher at 10?
I would, Greeny. And listen, maybe this is just because of the position I played. Man, I want them to take an offensive lineman. We know that the Jets have addressed this position. They've added, a couple of pieces, particularly at the offensive tackle. But those same pieces are over the age of 30, and they have an injury history. Let's finally fix the offensive line in New York, please.
Yes, let's get an offensive lineman who gets carded when he walks into places. finally, would you believe the Patriots would trade out of the number 3 pick?
Greeny, for the longest, man, I felt like the Patriots, were going to move up. But I would not believe. I think the Patriots are going to pick a quarterback here. I really do. I think with Jacoby Brissett as the perfect bridge quarterback right there that they have in New England, I think this would give them an opportunity to draft a quarterback and let them sit and learn behind a guy like Jacoby Brissett.
Well, let me bring in Adam Schefter then on that. Should the intrigue in this, we don't know for certain that Jaden Daniels is the second pick in this draft, Schefter, but as you've said many times, it feels strongly like it's trending that way. So then the first real mystery of the night is at number 3. Do the Patriots take a quarterback? Do they trade back? If so, who's coming up? What are you hearing?
As we speak right now, Greeny, they are inclined to stay where they are. It doesn't mean they ultimately will. When the clock starts and the Patriots are on the clock, could they hear from the Vikings at that point in time? That, to me, is the team that is most likely to come up to number 3. The Giants have made some inquiries. I don't know that they're going to be able to offer enough or want to offer enough to go from 6-3. But the great part about this is once the draft begins, teams have to show their hand and they have to say exactly what they're feeling. So if the Giants feel that strongly about Drake May, we'll find out tomorrow night when the Patriots are on the clock. But that is the spot where the first trade could occur if New England is willing. But let me say this also. If New England feels so strongly about Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, you just stay there and pick your guy. If it's Drake May, go take him. If it's J.J. McCarthy, you probably could trade the pick 3 for a lot of compensation and then come back up to, say, number 5, the Chargers spot, and go get J.J. McCarthy there. That could happen, too. But if you want Drake May and you believe in Drake May, go pick Drake May 3. If you want and believe in J.J. McCarthy, you can trade pick 3 for value, go back, and then come back up much the same way the Arizona Cardinals did last year and still wind up with J.J. McCarthy.
I brought that up to Tannenbaum the other day, by the way, and he said it would scare him to death to get cute like that. Like, I understand what you're saying, but you never know. Like, if you've got the guy and you want him, this was a general manager talking. If you got the guy and you want him, take him and don't take a chance that someone else figures their way around it. What do you think? I've heard the expression, not ready for a young quarterback, right? We've heard that because the roster is not that strong. Do you believe the Patriots should take a quarterback?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. And that's a... There's something that comes with that, though. They take a quarterback if that's the guy. Yeah. Don't settle on a quarterback because you feel you need one. That's the reason you go out and you get Jacoby Brissett. Right. If you're in love with Drake May, if you're in love with J.J. McCarthy, I agree with Mike Tannenbaum. Let's not get cute. If those are your guys, let's do it. But remember the last time the Patriots waited for a quarterback to fall to them. And I think at the time, Mac Jones was the 4th quarterback picked in his draft. This year, you'll get the 3rd quarterback. If you move back, you'll get the 4th quarterback. And I think some of that, when you look at a J.J. McCarthy, he isn't a top 4 player in this draft.
Right.
He's a quarterback. We overinflate the importance of that position, so he may get drafted high. For me, if I'm Gerard Mayo, I'm thinking about building a team. I'm thinking about having the correct infrastructure to have a young quarterback. Right now, in Jacoby Brissett, you can build a team that's competitive. You can build a team that's continuing to grow and then maybe get your quarterback later when you find the exact guy you want.
Let me get Yates in here on that. Based upon the way you rate these players, how would you do it if you were making the decision?
Yeah, Greeny, very few things about the NFL draft are simple and straightforward, but since the draft order was set at the end of the 2023 regular season, I felt like the Patriots at number 3 had a pretty good problem on their hands. Just take whichever of the 3 quarterbacks out of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and perhaps Drake May is available at number 3, because my evaluation is that all 3 of those players merit top 3 overall pick consideration. The second part of the equation for the Patriots that I believe is important is acknowledging if you do land Drake May, who just recently turned 21 years old and may need some time to develop, is that you acknowledge this is not about sprinting to success in New England. It's about the idea, as RC was just alluding to. Let's build a roster out. Let's support him with a left tackle that we believe can become a fixture force. Let's support him with some weapons, some wide receivers that are more dynamic than the current crew that we have on the roster as of right now. I understand that there is temptation when you draft a young quarterback, and we have seen success stories out of the chute for a few teams that have really changed the fortunes of their team right away. But if I'm the Patriots, it's Drake May, assuming he is there at number 3 with Jaden Daniels off the board at number 2, and then be patient because it's going to take some time.
All right, well, so leave it there for the moment because I'm up against the clock, but we will have much, much more on this as we go, including we are going to play you what Jerry Jones said yesterday about his quarterback, and we're going to see if you can make sense of it because the rest of us are struggling. If he means what he says, then it's going to get fascinating. Plus, are LeBron and the Lakers done? Is there any hope left in Hollywood? We'll answer that question, and we'll see if Legs can answer this one from Sneaky Hembo. What is the only team to sweep the Lakers twice in the playoffs? The answer is next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back. Bottom of the hour. Legler is struggling here. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah.
What is the only team to sweep the Lakers twice in the playoffs?
I'll tell you one thing that I'm learning about these questions as of late after that streak I went on. Hell hath no fury like a himbo scorned. I can tell you that because he's coming for me.
Yeah.
Look, it's got to be some team that's played them quite a bit in the playoffs to pull this off. I'm going to go with the obvious answer because they played them so many times in their history. I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics.
Oh, that was so close. That Great. Was so close.
That's like the two-minute report. That doesn't help me.
I guess that's right. But you gave me two teams before we came on the air. The Celtics.
San Antonio?
The San Antonio Spurs swept them in 1999 and then again in 2013.
I remember the 2013 one. I didn't remember the
99 was that first year when they went and won the championship. Right. The Spurs did.
Lockout year.
The lockout year. And then Phil came the following year to coach.
Should have known that. I was in the league.
And the rest was history. All right, score that one for Hembo. In the meantime, Wendy is up with us this morning as well. Everyone, get your fingers ready for the Wendy watch. Let's go through the notes. Wendy, let's start in Milwaukee. How close is Giannis to returning for the Bucks?
Yeah, Doc Rivers gave a little bit of an update yesterday saying he's getting closer. He's been on the floor the last 3 or 4 days doing some shooting. That said, no practice yet, and the Bucks are stopping short of a timeline. I will say that there are 2 days off between games 2 and 3. They play game 3 Friday in Indiana. We'll see if he gets any closer.
Next up is the Sixers. How is Joel Embiid's injury impacting Philadelphia?
Yeah, one of the things that is just glaring, Joel Embiid was a 53% shooter from the floor this year. He is at 39% over these first two games. Also, the Knicks are just dominating on the boards. They've got 19 more second chance points in this series. The DiVincenzo three of their night was a second chance points where Embiid couldn't get the rebound. He's definitely grinding, and he's definitely not 100%.
And then let's go to the Lakers. How can they flip the script on the defending champs?
Greeny, they have got to flip what's been going on in the second halves of these games. 31-point differential that the Nuggets have outscored the Lakers in the second half in the first two games so far. And if you look back to last year, and this is hard on the coaching staff, it's minus 54 over these last six playoff games last year and this year. Nuggets have outscored the Lakers by 54 in the second half. The Lakers are actually plus 17 in the first half of those games.
So game 3 of that series is tomorrow night. I wanted to bring in RC and especially D. Wood for this conversation because D. Wood is a passionate Laker fan. So here's the deal. I know you still believe. I know you still think they're going to win this series. Here's our camera right over here. I want you to tell LeBron and AD and all the Laker fans out there how it is they're going to come back, stun the world, and win 4 out of 5 and win this series.
It's over.
Oh, no.
Man, it hurts me so bad as a Lakers fan to say it's over, but it's over for in this series. And here's why, in my opinion. Game 1, we know that D'Lo didn't play great. They lost the game. Game 2, LeBron plays great. AD was a monster, although he only got one shot in the fourth quarter. D'Lo played great, and we still lost. When the Lakers were up 20, that game never felt out like it never felt like it was going to run away. I was just waiting for the Denver Nuggets to make a run, And they did, because Jamal Murray wasn't doing anything. Murray wasn't even doing anything, and you just felt the most, you felt like there was a tide, like a tsunami coming from the Denver Nuggets, and that's exactly what happened. They chipped away, and then all of a sudden, it was gone.
They're the best team in basketball, and when you were watching during the season as OKC is making a run, the Minnesota Timberwolves before Cat is injured, you were just sitting around saying, okay, when will the Denver Nuggets turn it on? And the best teams turn it on in the second half. They turn it on in the fourth quarter. And you listen to Wendy talk about the point differential in the second half. It's because the Denver Nuggets decided it was time to play winning basketball and the Lakers.
But you know what? I want to ask Legs about this. When you talk about the point differential in the second half, like in football, when we talk about in-game adjustments, that's coaching. So I want
to
ask, like, is there like that much of a disparity as far as coaching? Because when I hear that type of advantage in the second half, the first thing I'm thinking, okay, Mike Malone is just out-coaching Darvin Ham, particularly as far as making second-half adjustments in the series.
It's a valid point, but there's a bigger point to it. It's the CPU between Nikola Jokic's ears. First half, he kind of feels it out. He figures out how he's going to be able to attack them in the second half. And in this particular game, he said, I'm going to go into the post and work Anthony Davis. Now, when it's a 20-point lead, you're Darvin Ham, stay home with the three-point shooters. Mm-hmm. I get that, because that's how you erase a big lead.
They don't.
Once that thing got under single digits and he's doing whatever he wants down there, at some point you've got to say to yourself, yep, KCP, have one. Mm-hmm. Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, whoever. Somebody has to make a three-point shot. We cannot allow Jokic to operate. So for me, it's more than the coaching. It's Nikola Jokic's inability to be affected by anything
he's
doing defensively.
But here's my thing. AD was giving Jokic that work. In the fourth quarter, he only had one shot.
They went away from the two-man game inexplicably, because Denver didn't have an answer for that.
They moved Jokic off of AD, though, at some point.
They switched their personnel, but they completely went away from that action. AD was getting whatever he wanted. I agree with that. That's a valid point. They still haven't heard an explanation.
They're going to be at home
from the Lakers.
Can I point out one other thing? And, Wendy, I'll let you make this point. Another thing that happens later in games is that older players get tired, and LeBron James is as brilliant as he is. He's 39 years old. And Anthony Davis, who sometimes seems older than he actually is, has the impossible task of banging with Nikola Jokic all night. I have to think that's a factor in the second half, too.
Yeah, LeBron did miss 7 shots in the restricted area the other night. I haven't seen that too often in his career, and that could have been affected by his legs. I do think, though, the Lakers got outmaneuvered. Michael Malone just made a very simple personnel move, switching Aaron Gordon onto Anthony Davis, and they scored 68 points in the first 26 minutes, and they scored 31 points in the last 22 minutes after that switch. They didn't have an adjustment. Anthony Davis stood in the corner. I've never seen him hotter in a game than I did. The Lakers fans and players should be frustrated. This series is not 1-1.
All right, and so instead they go home, for all intents and purposes, playing for their season tomorrow night. You're
going
to be all right?
What, they're going
Big
home
fella,
and stay
okay?
home.
No, man, like.
Wasn't the pep talk they were looking for?
No, I don't have anything for you. I don't have any pep talk for you.
Listen, I haven't seen him like this since that Monday night at my house when Aaron Rodgers and the fourth play.
If you get LeBron great on a night, AD great on a night, and a third guy great on the same night, and you have a 20-point lead, and you still can't win that game, I understand where he's coming from.
That's where we stand. Okay, more on the hoops as we go, but let's go back to the NFL and let you try and decipher what it is he's talking about in Dallas. Jerry Jones held his pre-draft press conference yesterday, adding detail to his contract negotiations with Dak while also keeping his options open. He said a lot of words. Here are some of them.
We want Dak Prescott. So, that's that. We want Dak, and we think that there's room for growth.
Why not work on those deals earlier so that you have the flexibility to go get those veterans that have led to success in the last 2 postseasons?
Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. So it's called option quarterback. I've spent my life being an option quarterback, and it'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards played.
All right, so I don't know what he means by that. I mean, I really don't understand. He's keeping his options open because he's trying to see what growth he gets, I mean, if you were to take literally what he just said, it sounds like what he's saying is, let's see if we do better this year with Dak. Let's see if all of a sudden I do find myself in a Super Bowl. And if I don't, then maybe I do consider starting all over again because Dak can just walk away if he wants.
Greeny, have you ever been in a parking lot and seen someone rev a motorcycle that still has the kickstand down? It just makes a lot of noise, but it goes nowhere. Right. That's what Jerry Jones is doing. Jerry Jones is making a lot of noise because none of what he says makes sense. And I love Jerry Jones. I've been around him. Like, he's great to be around. But normally, Jerry Jones does make good business decisions. They haven't handled business well when it comes to Dak Prescott. And when you think about people who become billionaires or multi-billionaires, they always understand leverage. Well, in this situation, he's given Dak Prescott all of the leverage. Dak Prescott is going to be an unrestricted free agent, an unrestricted free agent that at least 2 years removed from that finished in the top three in MVP voting. Dak Prescott is going to have an option to do whatever he wants. So going into the last year of his contract, the last year of Mike McCarthy's contract, you do absolutely nothing to make the team better and you lose important pieces. This has not been sound decision making.
Let me get Shefty in here. While all this is going on, and it could inform some of the things they do tomorrow night and the rest of the weekend with regards to the draft, hearing Jerry say all this was a little bit surprising at minimum. What should we take away from it?
Well, he's talking about the fact that they want to keep Dak and they want to look at Dak, but the fact of the matter is there have not been any substantial conversations aimed at a new deal, which brings into play a whole slew of options. RC used the word options. Well, there's any number of them that now can occur. What can occur is that the Cowboys can't trade Dak because he's got a no trade. They can't tag Dak because he has no tags in his contract. And so they cannot keep him in Dallas unless they pay him quite a bit of money. And so it sounds like Jerry Jones wants to bet on Dak Prescott this year. Jerry Jones likes to have people with backs against their wall to see how they respond. Mike McCarthy, the head coach, in the last year of his contract. Dak Prescott in the last year of his contract. Let's see how they perform. And I think Jerry feels like if these guys step up, he's only too happy to go pay them. But the quarterback market is not going to settle. It's not going to get cheaper to sign Dak. And with all the leverage he has, in my mind, the price is only going to go up. This is a little bit like what Washington went through with Kirk Cousins. And he parlayed it into a fully guaranteed contract in Minnesota. And that's the kind of leverage that Dak Prescott is going to have this offseason.
But I have to leave it there because of time. But I mean, it's a fascinating set of circumstances. And does it inform what they do maybe later in this draft? Are they looking to pick up someone who could be their future quarterback? It will bear watching, probably not Thursday night, but maybe Friday or Saturday. In the meantime, we got to talk about one really, really strange thing that has happened. It is sneaky, potentially huge news that suggests that Jim Harbaugh might be about to make the most stunning move of the entire draft. You'll hear what it is next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NFL Draft begins tomorrow, on ESPN and ABC.
And you will start hearing their names tomorrow night, the NFL draft coming your way from Detroit. We could not be more looking forward to bringing it to you. Again, this year I'll be headed there immediately after we finish up the show. So let me give you today's green list and give you the five moves I would like to see made in round one. At number five, I'm going to say that with the eighth pick in this draft, the Falcons should take Laiatu Latu. Now, he is, I think most people believe that if you are not worried about the medicals, he's a player who had to retire at one point during his college career because of a serious neck injury. If he's fully healthy, he's the best defensive player in this draft. If Atlanta wants to take the best defensive player, I believe that's the player they should be targeting. The Buffalo Bills are at number four. They need a wide receiver desperately. And the one I like for them is Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell, they call him. You remember him from Georgia and then from Texas. He played in five college football playoff games in his career and caught a touchdown in every one of them. He is, I think, a player after you get past the big three that has superstar potential at the next level. That's the guy that I think Josh Allen should want. For the Jets at number 10, I would love to see them add an offensive lineman. And in fact, if Joe Alt starts to fall, he is, I think, most people's opinion, the best offensive lineman in this draft. If he starts to slip, I think the Jets could move up and try and grab him. He's 6'8 and a half out of Notre Dame. That would be a magnificent pick. The Jets won't get him at 10, but one way or another, address the offensive line. At number two, it just makes too much sense for the Vikings to trade for J.J. McCarthy. I think that's the quarterback they should identify, because if you want a quarterback in Minnesota, Drake May is the guy everyone keeps telling me needs to sit a year. Minnesota doesn't need a guy to sit a year. They need someone to come in right now and play with Jefferson and Addison and all the rest, Hawkinson and the rest of those weapons. So he makes perfect sense to me for Minnesota in the same way that Drake May makes perfect sense for the Giants. And that's what I'll put at number one. And I've been saying this one for months. If Drake May is a guy who needs some time to develop, who better to develop him than Brian Daboll, who did the same in Buffalo for Josh Allen? The Giants have other options at quarterback, most notably Daniel Jones, but he's not the only one. So that is a move that makes all the sense in the world to me. They probably would have to go up to three to get him. I think in the long run, that would be the right move for them to make. So those are the five moves I'm most fascinated to see if we get tomorrow night. But should this happen, it would obliterate all of those. I present to you sneaky big news. ESPN Bet has prop bets available for what each team will do in the draft in round one, what position it will address. And just look at your screen. At the top, it shows you the opening line on the Chargers to take a quarterback with their first pick. We're 100 to 1. That sounds about right. Earlier this week, they moved to 15 to 1. As of right now, they are 6 to 1. That is a sizable drop. And those things don't happen randomly. They either happen because someone has inside information or tons of money is moving in that direction. I'm going to save Shefty for last. Field Yates, I will start with you. What do you make of that? That significant of a movement in the line on the Chargers taking a quarterback with round one?
Don't buy it one bit whatsoever, Greeny. The Chargers have multiple options in this year's draft that I think are very desirable. Taking a quarterback is not anywhere close to that list, given the fact that they have Justin Herbert, who, despite his lack of wins and lost success, I mean, the guy's been an absolute stud through four seasons in the NFL. The two great things, three great things the Chargers could do in this draft are so obvious. They could sit there, pick five, and take one of the best wide receivers available, whether that's Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, whichever is available. If they want to invest in the offensive line, they could do that as well with Joe Alt or J.C. Latham or any of the excellent offensive tackles. They're at the top of the board in this year's class. Or they could move back and be that team that perhaps Minnesota moves up with and get multiple picks and continue to build out this entire roster. I don't believe it for a second here. I think the Chargers have a ton of great options. Quarterback is absolutely not at all on the table.
Makes sense. That said, I'll remind everyone that J.J. McCarthy played for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. They love each other. Harbaugh has raved about McCarthy, and the one thing Justin Herbert is that J.J. McCarthy is not is expensive. For a team that has lost a lot of talent, has got cap considerations here, guys, I'm not suggesting it makes sense. If I'm saying if I'm trying to make it make sense,
That's Greeny, you actually works. You actually don't have to try to make it make sense. When you think about the relationship of J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh and the way that he feels about him, and if you felt like you could start all over with J.J. McCarthy on a rookie contract and then build around him, this would be the smart of smart decision if you think you can move on from Justin Herbert. But we listened to Shefty say it earlier. That dead money on the cap, it keeps you from being able to maneuver anyway. So you might as well keep the dude that could throw a football through a pinhole. I would love to see this because I would love to see your head explode while doing the draft. And for Shefty phone to have one phone to his ear, texting on another phone, and then have his assistant playing on his computer. This would be beautiful, but it just seems too difficult to do.
This is my dream, D. Wood. My dream is that Brian Ryder, who produces the draft, says in my ear while the Chargers are on the clock, Greeny, go to Adam. Greeny, go to Adam. And I go to – he calls him Adam. And we call him Shefty. And then we go to Adam with, the Chargers are making a stunning decision here. But Shefty, how would you – and I've saved it for you because I know you're going to take care of this one for us. How would you assess the possibilities of this?
Well, first things first. Ryan, I don't have an assistant. I post all my own material. That's number one. Number two, I looked into this a month ago. 1 month ago and asked, could this be? Would anybody in Los Angeles consider taking J.J. McCarthy with Jim Harbaugh, saying he's the best quarterback in this draft, the best quarterback in Michigan history, the best pro day he's ever seen any player have? You couldn't be any more effusive in a player the way that Jim Harbaugh has spoken about J.J. McCarthy. And the way it was told to me a month ago was that no new money in Justin Herbert's contract is kicked in. To trade him would cost them well over $100 million, which would be the largest cap charge in history. You'd be absorbing the largest cap charge in NFL history to trade one of the elite young quarterback talents. Like, it doesn't make sense for as much as you would get back. And I don't understand how those odds have gone up like that. Is this some sort of gimmick? Is this some sort of thing where they're trying to attract people to get some big? I don't understand it.
D-Wood, final quick word, 10 seconds.
You know, Shefty's like killing my vibe right now.
Yeah, no, he's
there. Shefty's like, I'm rooting for chaos, okay? Like, that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for chaos.
And in comes Shefty with all his facts and information.
He can't rationale.
Wet blanket.
All right. Don't forget, we are getting ready to bring you everything. And for the first time this year, we've got Pat McAfee and his crew live from Detroit for their draft spectacular. Bill Belichick will be part of their coverage tomorrow night. You can catch it all on YouTube and ESPN+. And the conversation continues here next. First Take, will Caleb Williams have the same success as C.J. Stroud as a rookie? Did the Mavs make a huge statement last night? Molly, Stephen A., Mad Dog, RC and Legs, top of the hour. First Take here on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Get Up is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. And before we all get set to head out to Detroit, one last look.
We went back to this?
One last look.
Okay, guys, I was trying to make the people around me feel better. right? There were some guys who weren't playing well. And I said, hey, I can show you I'm not very good at it either. This is me giving back to the people. But no, what Greeny got to do? Keep showing it because he's actually better at golf than I am. Next year, I'm going to be a charity golf tournament ringer. Watch.
We'll see. Hey, wait till you see how good Stephen A. Smith looks today. He's next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.